Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and good morning to you, Neil.
Good morning.
And today we are continuing our discussion on three levels of growth and taking your calls for psychic readings on the air today. That's what we're doing. And we've got a caller. I think what we'll do is take our caller first and then get into our discussion. But we do invite those that are listening to follow us here on Blog Talk Radio, as well as join us on Facebook. That account is linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. And there are actually two Facebook accounts, Neil Baker Psychic and Neil and Kristen Baker. So one can be found via the other. We appreciate your support on both of those pages. Our call-in number, 914-338-0164. Please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And let's take our first caller. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Rose.
Hi, Rose.
Hi.
Where are you calling from, Rose?
Jersey.
New Jersey?
Yes.
Okay. And what is your birth date?
December 10.
And the year?
56.
56. Okay, so we're going to add
6-6 or
5-6 or 6-6?
5-6.
5-6. Okay, 2, 3, 4, 14, 11. She's a 25-7.
Yeah.
Okay, Rose, what brings you to the show today?
Well, I have some money concerns at the moment. I want to know, how does my future look regarding my finances, please?
Future regarding your finances, and you're having some money problems as we speak?
Just concerns, yeah.
Okay.
But you know, Rose, was there a harsh separation in your life, either between you and your family or you and a significant other?
Yes.
And did that result in a divorce or just an estrangement of sort?
Just an estrangement.
And are we talking about a significant other or parents?
Significant other.
Okay. So what did that, at one point in time, did that person ever, and I know I'm going around the corner to get to your question, but I just need to do this for a second. At that point in time, did that person ever talk about a business venture, either with you or just personally with himself or herself, whatever?
Talk about it?
A business venture? Did he discuss a bit? No.
Was he self-employed? Was he in his own? Was this a male or female?
Oh, you're talking about him. Yes, he's self-employed.
Yeah.
So now, maybe she didn't understand the question. Was there a business venture he talked about? Were you saying, like, with her? Like,
no.
Just something. So
was he involved in some kind of business venture when you were involved with this person?
Yes, he has his own business.
And had he made any promises to you informally about your future with him?
No.
No.
That's and why we broke up, because he didn't want to commit.
He didn't want to commit. Let me ask you something, Rose, because I think we're getting to the core issue of trying to help you with this situation. And I know I'm going to left field to get to your immediate answer. Was he well off? Was he at least middle class? Did he make a reasonable living?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He makes very good
So money. He was well off.
Mm-hmm.
And had you married him or had it gotten to that place, do you feel you would have felt you would have been secure in your life?
Well, you're always secure if you have a partner, but when you're alone, you always worry.
I know, I understand that, but let's say you had married this person financially. Would you have been secured with the way his lifestyle was and his situation?
Yeah.
Okay. I needed to know that because the karma of your financial situation has to do with the history of your relationships. They kind of tie together. So in order for me to kind of try to feel what your financial situation is going to be, I had to investigate a certain layer of your karma with people who do make money.
Oh, I see.
Because it's an see, what's going on with you, Rose, is that there's something interconnected between Rose making money or having money all on her own, as opposed to Rose being secured by somebody who makes money and is there and is also committed to you in a relationship whereby you find security with the person in more ways than one. So we're talking about financial situation basically on your own. You're 50 years old, and I want to ask you something.
She's
are you 50?
She's 61.
60. I'm sorry.
Or going to be 60.
You're 60 right now, but we'll be.
No,
she's 10 years beyond.
I miscalculated.
The doubling of her karma.
I meant 60. I subtracted my. I was looking at your 56 and it made me say 50. You're 60 years old. I want to ask you something real quick. This might be difficult for you to answer. Has Rose ever called our show?
I don't remember Rose. Have you called our show before, Rose?
I don't think so, no.
No, I don't think so. Usually I remember.
Okay, Rose, so let's go back. Let's travel back a little bit in time. When you were 25 years old, in 1981, mm-hmm. Let's go back right there for just a second. We're going to travel backwards. Do you remember that year?
I don't.
When you were 25?
I don't remember.
25.
Mm-mm.
No, nothing?
No, mm-mm.
Because there would have been a significant change at that time, actually between 1981 and 1982 because of the fact that she's born in December.
Yeah.
So it would have been 1981 or 1982. Were you in school? Or did you have a relationship that broke up or someone
yeah,
met?
I was in a relationship at that time.
You were in a
break
relationship?
Up.
A breakup?
Okay.
No, not when I was 25, no.
You weren't breaking up, but
you were in a relationship. Okay. And do you have one parent that's crossed over?
Both.
You're getting one.
Okay. From forgive me for asking, because I know we're on a radio and whatnot, but we're trying to answer your question as quickly as we can. From your parents crossing over, did you receive any benefits? Was there any inheritance? Was there anything that helped you along?
Yeah.
But it wasn't that much, huh?
No, uh-uh.
Okay. What I'm experiencing right now, Rose, is not, I'm in a difficult position with you because I don't particularly see an immediate gift of money. There's nothing that I'm looking at. So I'm trying to figure out but the money is involved in your energy. Part of the situation that you have at this point in your life, the best rule of thumb I can give you is that I do sense coming up a relationship whereby with that relationship, and this is all in a good context, comes security. Because I can't find on your very own. I'm not getting a vibration that you just get money
mm-hmm.
on your own. It seems to come from a relationship situation. Are you right now single?
Yes.
What kind of work are you working right now, Rose?
No, I was on a contract and it ended, so I'm looking for work right now. That's why I'm concerned.
Can we ask what kind of work that you do?
Office work.
Office work.
So, and you're in New Jersey, forgive me, but would your immediate salary per year, would that be maybe under $50,000?
Oh, probably more.
A little bit more?
75 maybe?
Yeah, around that.
Okay. Well, we have two layers, Rose.
Which happens to be your karmic number going backwards, 75.
Yeah. We have two layers. The immediacy of money may come from a connection you have with your next, quote, contract, meaning that the next job you have might be karmic in nature, whereby the work you do with the person, there's a sort of karmic intensity there, and you get paid vicariously that way. But I do see, in addition to that, when I'm expressing that to you, I do feel a relationship coming in.
Wonderful.
Which might provide for you a sense of security, because the person seems to be, you know, around 63, 64, and is it doesn't mind sharing his security with you because he falls in love. So we have those two aspects going on. We've got to get to other callers, and you always feel free to call us.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So just hang in there, Rose, and let us know as things progress.
I will. Thank you so much for taking my call today.
You're welcome, Rose. Good luck. And do keep in touch, okay? All right. So we have another caller from 201 and then 856. So let's bring on 201 first, then 856 will be our next. Hello. I'm sorry, 673. 201, then 856. Hi. Sorry, I confused myself for a moment. Who's this?
Kristen, it's Gunjan.
Oh, you just called.
Get you?
Gunjan. Who? It's Gunjan.
Oh, Gunjan.
So,
hi.
You just called upstairs.
I'm going to call you later on today.
Oh, sure.
But I just wanted to get on the show and
sure.
Ask a quick question.
So, hold on. 9/20/81. And are you asking about the 4/4/83 birth date?
Yes.
Okay. All righty. So we have your karmic number and master number, which is a 30 equals 3. And then go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you. 29/11/2 is this person. So, did you want to give a little bit of detail?
Well, no, not really. I will off air, but I just wanted to know what kind of relationship is this going to be, or is there going to be, or is it just that we have a karmic connection? That's it.
No, you have more than a karmic connection. Well, the master number of this person is 2, and that connects to an energy on your karmic side, which is 2 in your 20. So this person's master number 2 connects into your 2 in your day. Now, that alone doesn't mean, oh, okay, then that must mean there's going to be a relationship beyond just, you know, a karma thing. It in your case, it means more. Your years are interchangeable. I think Kristen explained some of this to you before.
Mm-hmm.
Your years are interchangeable, and your energies together become a 5, which can be very compelling because there's a physicality of communication in that. When we have a physicality of communication, then we get into a different kind of zone, Gunjan, where we have more than just, if you get my gist, drift here, more than just communication going on. There's an intensity
in the
energy.
Physicality of the relationship, yeah. Is what you're saying.
And since your 9 anchors all numbers and becomes the number it's anchored to, 9 and 4 is 13, 13 equals 4 as an example, we've got a situation that coincides with the 1 in your year and the 3 in his year, which is another 4. So that means that there's an heart element. So we have to get beyond the idea that this is just more than a karma.
there's a heart element in there that also involves some form of intense relationship. So there's something there to examine to address your immediate question. It's more than just, quote, common karma. We've got something deeper going on.
Uh-huh. Any intentions you're picking up from this person?
Intentions? Well, the person, this person, you know, I don't want to say too much on the radio because to protect you and this person, because there's, you know, knowing your situation and all that. So, but I can say there is intention. Now, that's a vague way of putting it. That's a vague way of putting it. But if you're getting what I'm implying, that there's intention means it's more than just casual. Attention can be drawn into the aspect of attraction, the intensity of interest. There's an intention there, meaning that there's a preconceived idea of some form of behavior. There's an intent.
Okay.
It's just not casual. It's not casual. So, so we're getting more into the element of some layer of analyzing the situation that is more than just casual, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else you pick up?
No, I mean, you know, not at the, I mean, what I would pick up would get us into a depth that if you're going to be calling, it's probably best to wait.
All right. Okay.
Since you're going to be calling, it's probably better to wait and to because it's only going to prompt you to ask more questions and, you know.
Are you calling today?
No, something.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling today. I'm going to be, I'm going to be calling 4:30 Eastern time. So I don't know.
So
is that 2 o'clock?
1:30?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
She's 2-3 hours.
I was just going to ask you that if you pick up something like, I'm sitting next to so and so, or you know, just to validate the reading.
No, I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna. No,
the reading's validated.
I don't. I'm not gonna do that because you know, for somebody to say, well, I need validation. You know, am I holding a red rose right now? I just don't. I'm too old for that stuff. You just have to trust where I'm coming from. And I understand you need validation. And I've known you quite a while, but sometimes it kind of irks me when people say, "Why need validation? What do you have?" You know, I'm just too old for that at this point in my life to prove to somebody that I'm psychic, especially over the air. If you don't like what I say, go on, find somebody else. And if you do, then appreciate where I'm coming from. But I don't, and I don't mean to embarrass you or anything, but I just don't want to be pushed against a corner at the stage of my life to, you know, the validation is this. There's you asked a question, and that question is there something going on? And I'm telling you, yes. And since you're calling, we can maybe talk about those other validations, but I'm trying to respect your privacy. And I think it's noteworthy that I do. And, you know, if there's something that's noteworthy for me to say, I'll say it. I've got a history of 20 years on the radio. It doesn't matter. So don't worry about validations. You get into that too much. Don't worry about that right now. Worry about the content and the depth of what you're experiencing right now. Signs and wonders don't always mean that much. You know, just because I would say something doesn't mean that it's going to make it happen. So try to understand that. I want to take this a little bit more serious in note than just kind of saying, oh, yeah, I am holding a pink rose. You know, just it will be meaningless right now.
Okay.
Okay, she's still with us.
Are you still with us, Gunjan?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so hopefully that helps you.
Well, I mean,
I would say it to anybody.
Obviously, and Gunjan has called the show for years, so she knows. I mean, she knows that, you know, these are accurate readings, that there's integrity here, that there is results that happen that are forecasted. So there's really not a lot to prove, I don't think.
Well, you know, I mean, I think too.
No, I'm not testing you. It just makes me feel better.
I think what Gunjan, I understand that, but I think what Neil is saying is, you know, if the information is coming through in the reading, then that's validation enough. Sometimes there will be validations that come in from spirits or angels in order to, you know, enhance the reading. But in this case, it doesn't really work with the format of this particular reading.
There can be legitimate ways to say, you know, I need validation. There's legitimate ways for saying that. But I think that, you know, being as psychic, as long as I've been a psychic, it's become a real popular thing now. 30, 40 years ago, this wasn't the thing. You might have had a gypsy or somebody, or somebody who read your palm on some, you know, God forbidden corner of the city, but you didn't have psychics everywhere, and everybody wasn't popping up claiming to be one. And suddenly there's this new vocabulary about what people expect out of psychics. I come from an old school. And that old school, I rest on. I don't go into trends, and I don't go into all this new age stuff. I come from a depth of deep understanding and research, as well as being somewhat, if I might claim to be gifted, maybe. But that's the essence of it. And when we get into the real depth of what spirituality is, and really understand it, you know, the truth, and I'm not trying to lecture you, I'm talking to the broad audience. The true spirit of being a psychic is to understand spirit, not to understand just these, you know, quick fast food answers. There's great depth in a reading, and people need to take them seriously, not just kind of try to grab an answer and then move on to the next psychic to see what they have to say. It's much more sacred than that in my terms. But anyways, I have deep respect for you, Gunjan, so it's not that. But you know, our show is to also instruct and to enlighten, and I'm glad you called. But I'm looking forward to talking to you later.
Okay, Gunjan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, 856 is our next caller. Hello.
Hi, this is Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Hi, Laura. Laura, Laura, Laura.
Yeah.
We've spoken with you before?
Yes, in the past you have, yes.
Okay, what's your birthday? Because I don't remember it. I remember you, but not your birthday.
October 1st, 63.
Okay. All right, what brings you to the show today?
Well, I would like to know, I'm going to be ending a contract probably the end of this month, and I was wondering what you see in store for me for getting another contract. I was supposed to have an interview yesterday, but that didn't happen. I was supposed to be all over the phone, and the guy just never really showed up. His name was Jamie.
So you had an interview that was scheduled, but the person that was supposed to show up did not, so the interview didn't happen.
Right, for the phone, it was a phone interview.
Okay. Is that unusual?
And then he didn't get back. Yeah, no, it's not usual. And he didn't return the recruiter's calls or email or anything.
Wow. Gosh, sorry to hear that. That's, well, and this is, he's the, like, would he be your immediate supervisor or what position?
Yeah. I mean, even if there was an emergency, you would have thought he would have called to apologize or explain why he didn't show up, something to that effect.
Definitely. I mean, and also, I mean, it you know, begs the answer, you know, what kind of company is it that you're applying for if the person that's doing the supervising role isn't returning your call or showing up on time, so to an interview or showing up at all. So that's not so good.
Laura, is there any kind of construction going on around you currently? currently, anywhere in your environment?
No, even construction outside with equipment, heavy equipment.
I'm sorry, say
that
again.
Well, perhaps heavy equipment.
But she said something before that. Can you just repeat that whole thing?
I just meant construction, like with equipment and stuff, boat, bulldozers, anything like that. There isn't.
There's not.
Well, more not so much bulldozer, but maybe a construction in the redesigning of an environment that might include some remodeling or something along that line in terms of a home.
No. I want to buy a home.
I mean, is there anything adjacent to you in your area? It may not be necessarily with you, Laura. Anybody in the neighborhood doing construction, remodeling?
No, I live in an apartment building.
No, you're desiring a home? You're truly desiring a home?
Yeah.
Okay. So would this next contract have any basis for you moving closer to that goal?
Well, yeah, that's why I'm concerned, because I need to get another contract, at least long enough that I can get approved and come up with a down payment.
I got it. So the construction that I'm seeing is in the advancement of you getting a home, which I see is happening.
Oh, that's good.
So I believe you're going to be getting a home. Now, I'm going to ask you about a figure, and forgive me for being intruding or privacy or whatever, but at this point or at some point, or maybe at some point in the past, did $120,000 have any significance to you, that figure?
Yes, it did.
Why? What can you validate about that?
I'll tell you what, because there's the law of attraction, and there was a check that you could go online and you could download a check, and you could make it out for any amount that you would
like. Oh, to yourself?
Yeah, so I made it out for $120,000, but that was quite a while ago.
Well,
you see, Laura, as I was trying to explain to our former caller, in the nature of doing a reading, you know, sometimes signs are appropriate, sometimes they're not. You never know
when they're going to come in. Yeah, it's serendipitous.
The energy of you know, like you, if you had said, well, can you give me a sign that I'm going to get a home? I might have not come up with $120,000. The energy levels. What's that?
I didn't hear what you said.
I just said exactly. Yeah.
The energy levels of doing a reading. A psychic is sort of not always in control. What comes to them is what they give back, especially if they're being impartial, if they don't have their ego involved, and they're just trying to feel the vibration of what's coming in. So that figure now presents itself as a sign, but if you had asked me, I might have said, hey, Laura, don't ask me that. I don't know. But you didn't ask, And maybe somebody will ask down the line, and we'll have the answer. But in this case, this 120,000 figure is a way of an angel saying to you, "Okay, Laura, we got the program here, and we're around you, we're connected to you, and in this instance, we're going to give Neil that figure, and he's going to convey it back to you to validate the premise of the brief reading." That you're going to be getting a job and you're going to be getting a home. So you stick to those two principles in this short radio reading.
What kind of work do you do, Laura? You may have told us before, but
I develop training materials, and I sometimes roll out training implementations for companies.
Okay, so in terms of your work position, your upcoming contract, since this is kind of in a state of, I mean, it's just, you know,
not really moving forward, I mean, in terms of work for her?
Well,
she needs, I mean, do you think this contract is going to come through? The guy didn't show up.
He
hasn't responded to your calls.
I know. Do I even want to work for him? I'm just hoping.
That's what I was saying earlier.
Is he your only option right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, right now, but I'm hoping that something else will come
through. Maybe he's a cornflake. I don't know. I was going to say maybe he's a cornflake. I like cornflakes, but maybe he's the wrong kind of cornflake. Maybe he's a wrong kind of cornflake. What is between 65 and 80,000? Does that hit any range of salary figure that would be comfortable, or am I way off here?
I would say you're way off.
Okay.
Well, how much then? What salary wise? What's your typical?
120.
So that's kind of double. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Okay.
65
so what happened?
Times
okay.
two.
Yeah.
Essentially,
see, so
we're in the ballpark.
Now we're back to the 120, which now takes in more than just your dream number.
Yeah.
But it also entails your salary. So, you know, in answering the question about 120, you would have said, and that's also my salary. What I'm getting with the 65 mm-hmm. to 80 is that you are in a bit of a rut in terms of the agenda of getting work. Something's going on. You're in a sort of negative patch of fog right now. And that's why this guy backed out. So the 65, the 120 served as the dream figure you had, also as your salary. Okay, we got that. That should have been mentioned when you should have mentioned that to me. You should have said, that's my salary, but you didn't. When I went to 65 and 80.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
Did you say 65 to 80, or did you say 65 to 80,000? What did you say?
I'm not sure, but I think in terms of the reference, when Neil asked about 120, and now you're saying, my salary is 120, you would have said, I wrote myself a check for 120,000, and that's typically what I make in the year, because that's what you just told us. Is that right?
That's what I want to make in order to, for a permanent position, full-time position.
Okay, so that would, I mean, if it's what you want to make still, it's valid. In terms of what you do make, is that what you actually make, 120?
Okay, so no, that's not what I actually do make. But it's kind of a different situation because I wrote that check so that if I were to be a permanent employee with benefits and everything.
That's what you'd make. So can you tell us what your salary is? Like,
has been
in the past, exactly, the average.
I would rather not, but let's just say that your 60 to 80 has some significance to me, but not necessarily in the realm of
salary.
Okay.
Got it.
So that's
Validated. So we're moving along. Okay, good. So there's a little bit, the guy that didn't show up, there might be some protection there for you, but there also might be some negativity around you. Let me ask you something real quick on the side issue. Did you ever in your life smoke cigarettes or have a habit that you broke?
No. I'm addicted to sugar, but
no.
I've been around people that smoke in the past.
Marijuana? Is there marijuana ever?
No.
No drugs.
No, you're around secondhand smoke?
Yes, I was.
You were. And did that turn out to be a bitter experience around that situation?
I wouldn't say it was a bitter experience. I had to live with somebody for a couple of years. I didn't like the fact that I was, at that point in time, I was really down and out. And living with this person was very difficult. She was a good friend, but she was a habitual smoker and drinker.
That difficulty
is connecting to the difficulty with the job situation.
So what we can do with a broad stroke of energy is try to, God, we're just on the radio, but we'll try to clear negativity around you, Laura, by just saying that sometimes we just collect negative energy. That cigarette smoke and alcohol that you stayed with for the years that you lived with this person kind of wore on your energy, I think. And I think,
you
see, and there's something lingering that might just be aggravating. So what we'll do is we'll just casually visualize it leaving, I guess, and see if that might clear up to get you your job coming up real soon. Keep looking diligently. It should come in real soon, and we'll look for that 120 figure and that home not the home, the that was the other.
Oh, I will. Yeah, I was definitely.
Oh, she's the home. Yeah, and the home coming in. So we're looking at those two elements. And but it seems to be that there's some source of
connective energy in terms of things improving for you going forward.
You know, if you can, Laura, shed on your mind, shed the negativity of whatever there was in that relationship with the cigarettes and the alcohol. Shed the negativity. It's caught in your etheric realm. And it's just aggravating things.
Yeah, she passed on too, so she's not even around anymore at this point. She died of lung cancer.
Whether she's around or not doesn't mean that energy. She's gone on the physical plane, but the energy from the relationship is Neil's perceiving that it's in your etheric realm. So you know whether she's on the planet or off the planet doesn't really make a difference.
I'll put it simply: the alcohol and the secondhand cigarette smoke. Into your energy field, and for some reason the energy of that alcohol and cigarette smoke probably came from an anxiety level that she had, or had an habitual level that she had, neurotic, whatever. That energy went into your etheric realm and is slowly aggravating things. So you got to visualize, you have an outline of energy around your body. Visualize opening it up, throwing out the energy of, visualize that cigarette smoke and that alcohol, visualize that in your energy field floating around like the rings of Saturn or something. And you're throwing it out, throw it out to outer space, then close up, visualize closing up your energy field so it's kind of clean. It's a clearing. And I think if we do that, if you can do that on your own. You don't need anybody to do that for you.
Yeah. I've taken Reiki, been attuned to Reiki too, so I'm pretty good with all that.
Okay, that's what I think too. I don't think you need to have anybody do it for you. So just do it yourself. But I'm only suggesting that there's a debris of energy circling around your energy field.
It's amazing that you picked up on that. That was really good.
Okay. So go ahead and do that. And then you're going to have a home and you're going to have a new job. Just stick to that principle.
Keep in touch, Laura.
I will. Thank you very much. I appreciate the reading.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Bye. You too. Okay, 562-596-7818 is the number for more conversation. Okay, so three levels of growth. Where did we leave off, Neil? I think the last thing we were talking about on the prior show is the fact that actualizing the three levels doesn't need to happen in linear succession. One can, you know, develop on the physical plane, the mental plane, and the spiritual plane simultaneously. Oftentimes the spiritual plane is the plane that's ignored, and people maybe do the physical and mental simultaneously, but forget about that third element, which is so important to our journey on the planet and hopefully our journey off of the planet.
Right. Ideally speaking, we should begin
our journeys off of the planet.
Journeys.
Yeah, we're not on one journey altogether. Okay.
Ideally, it's best to live in spirit. It's just, that's the best principle. And then from there, work downward. You know, we don't always do that because the rules of existence is we live on the primitive level first. We learn how to walk, how to talk, how to protect ourselves, how to eat.
Right, because there is some linear, there is some truth to a linear progression, but we're talking more in terms of people that have reached a certain stage of development doing things simultaneously, because even as someone is, if someone is actualized, you know, learning how to walk, talk, going to school, all those aspects, when they get to adulthood, you know, they're still striving on the physical and mental plane.
And then that third aspect of the spiritual realm is sometimes neglected.
So you get to a certain point where after you've conquered the physical and mental, the basic elements of existence, learning and going to school and being physically adept and all that, then you start to explore spiritual matters. But the thing that we tend to forget in the primitive physical stage is the sense of curiosity and wonder that infants have. A tremendous sense of curiosity, a tremendous sense of wonder, and a tremendous sense of searching, even though if they are crawling on their hands and knees. There's this essence to explore. And what babies do when they first explore, what do they do with contact? They put things in their mouth. They have to put things in their mouth. Now, you know, you have a little baby, and obviously the lower chakras, but the first aspect comes from the mouth, with the fifth chakra. Now, of course, in the womb, it's not going to be the mouth, it's the navel. But as soon as that baby is out in the world, the mouth becomes important. The ability to speak, to mumble. And when we realize that, you know, in the first 7 years of life, our vocabulary, we never recapture as many words as we get then. We're rapidly developing a language. I mean, just look at little children, how many words they identify and how they learn and how their brains are absorbing the sounds of their parents and identifying and using association. Now, that association is ultimately meant to be established as the association between mind and spirit as we get older. We're not supposed to necessarily seek everything through the physical means, but unfortunately we do. We want to know, when are we going to get the house? When are we going to get the car? When are we going to get this, that? And we forget that there's an instinct that, oh, we'll go to psychics. We'll see what the outer side
right.
of the world
so,
knows.
So right. In terms of that, you know, people are seeking answers about the physical plane from the spiritual realm, but they're forgetting, you know.
The core issue of spirituality
is,
well, first of all, it's not about want.
Right, and it's not about going to a psychic, though that can be, you know, legitimate. It is a legitimate thing that people do, but it doesn't make one spiritual, I think, is the point.
You're defining the communication process by going to a psychic. But the essence of true spirit is an individual thing. It's going inside and really getting into the aspect of what is the meaning of your life? What is the true meaning and depth of your soul? Why are you here? What are you supposed to be doing? And how are you supposed to be reconnecting with the universe in such a way that when you actually leave the body, which is continuously rotting and dying away, you want to be enriching your soul. We can only enrich our body and our physical pleasures to a certain extent. What becomes rather embarrassing at the end of life when the soul leaves and the spirit leaves the body is that it may not have been nourished enough. And it may come out, imagine babies that come out malnourished. Imagine if you leave the body, how your spirit may be malnourished. Now, of course, there are those who are going to say, oh, I nourish my spirit and I can do both. And that's fine. I'm not talking about that. But what we're talking about here is, in the purpose of our discussion, the aspect of what the true essence of spirit is, separate from the mind, the intellect, and the body. Now, when you talk, if you say, well, how do you deal with spirit devoid of intellect or body? And that becomes more of a cosmic consciousness, the aspect of using the brain to get out of the body. There, you know, we could probably come up with thousands of intellectuals. I love intellectual matter and I love the mind, but we're not talking about that. We're not discrediting the aspect of mental knowledge. What we're talking about is spiritual knowledge, the aspects of what happens beyond the body experience, including the mind. And those are the very things that I think we have to capture in our multi layers of search for meaning. of what it really means to be alive.
Right. And on an individual basis, each person's spiritual quest is going to be different, their spiritual development. People are, have different requirements. What one person is supposed to do to reach, you know, a higher spiritual actualization is going to be totally different than another.
Exactly. Well, that's the snowflake effect. That not,
right,
any,
no,
can
snowflake,
you imagine
two
not
snowflake
any one snowflake
is alike.
Is alike. And it's incredible.
Or fingerprint.
And fingerprint. So we have this unique energy level that manifests into the physical realm, but it comes from something that's much more mysterious in design than just pure physicality. So when we talk about the aspect of what, how do we reach that mystery? What is the origin of existence? Not just the earth, but what came before the earth? Where did our souls come from? How far back do our souls go? What are we collecting in our experience on a cosmic level? And how much content have we maintained and retained in terms of our experiences outside of the planet Earth? Those are the things that I think it's more impressive to get in touch with, because our journey down here is so short. There's so little time. And timelessness becomes of the essence. Once we leave the body, the time is lost. We're not in an element of time anymore. We're not regimented by routines. We're not waking up and going to sleep. We're not eating. We're not going to work. We're not going on a vacation. We're in the cosmic pool of eternity. And that energy is what we're going to be absorbed into once we leave the body. And the degree of our intensity of spirit will become part of the momentum of our swift journey into that realm. And then go from there, God knows where we go. But that's the element of what we're trying to capture while we're down here.
Right, and while we're resolving karma. Because even though we have a unique individual journey in terms of how to develop the spirit, we each have to resolve our own karma. That is universal.
That's universal. And we have... Really, a good psychic, if you want to talk about it, a good psychic is somebody who's in touch with imagination. Because in the element of imagination, there we have truths. And so the truth of imagination can actually be the actual truth of existence, because everything else vanishes. But what is the gift of imagination, and how do we express it in such a way that we can find truth? You know, even in our greatest works of art, they're derived by imagination. Whether it's a book or music or art, it derives from an abstract realm of imagination that is made manifest in the physical realm. But really, it's not of the physical realm. It's of something much higher in the mind than what the actual immediate brain can occupy itself with. And that's why we have people who are, quote, gifted, who seem to reach out to something beyond the human experience and then bring it back to the planet. And then we're all in awe of the creation. And those are the very things that we're trying to get back in touch with as we move forward in time. And, experience what's going to be happening outside of our body. But that isn't to say that, you know, obviously Chris and I take great patience and consideration in the questions of the earth. You know, we take very seriously the questions, you know, when am I going to get this? When am I going to get that? As you can see, we devote our time to it constantly.
But I think it's also noteworthy to state that, you know, even the most gifted creators on the planet aren't necessarily on a spiritual plane, even though they may be going outside the planet in some way to bring down these creative ideas to the earth. I mean, that's a high actualization of the mental plane. Maybe some,
right?
You know, you don't transcend if you're Salvador Dali necessarily.
No, you don't. But what we're getting, it's not so much the personality of the creator in terms of art. It's the aspect that something's being touched upon that is outside of the normal realm of human experience.
Right. Well, yeah, we established that.
Anyone can abuse a gift, and anyone can take of the magic and and misuse it or turn it into something that is full of ego and kind of disgusting or distorts the principles of dignity, common human dignity. And there's an aspect too, I think, that as we look into the crystal ball of existence, we have to try to understand what is the real emotional.
The Kristen ball of existence.
The crystal ball of existence.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There's three holes in it, and there's pins down the aisle. So the aspect.
And actually, we had to, it's funny, is our stream left is seven, right when you said that, 703.
That's 703.
Yeah. Our master numbers. That's why you said three holes with pins, because that's my master number. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Back to what you were saying.
I think that to me, the quest of true spirit is a fun quest. It's an exciting one. It's one filled with mystery. So when you dive into it and you discover it layer by layer by layer, it becomes more enticeful. And one of the most playful persons on the planet was Einstein. And even Einstein believed in God. There was a God design that he ultimately came to conclude in between the writings of his text, that there was some design there that he was trying to seek. And at the same time, he was of high intellectual scientific mind. So we have the idea of the cosmos as that there's some grand design to it, but that doesn't separate from the fact that we can't pursue the intellect and work with that. And still be spiritual, and still be involved.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Einstein sort of regretted, in some respects, that it led to the hydrogen bomb, and there was a great regret on the part that it had destroyed so much of humanity. But it's in the hands of the beholder. We can use our gifts for the betterment of mankind, or as we see in our current world stage, we can use our gifts to threaten one another and to annihilate one another. And to put out that furious tone, whether we do look at it as a degree of good and evil or who's right and who's wrong, if we get to the idea of destruction, then we get to the idea that it's all of entropy. We're in this zone of decreating, which is the antithesis, I think, of the cosmic universe. So in that regard, I'm not sure.
We're almost out of time.
We're almost out of time.
Yeah.
So hopefully that might lend itself to some of the degrees of our callers and people who visit our archives. When you get into the element of yourself, think of yourself as a cosmic universe.
Yeah.
And
that's
the most outward part of the solar system of your being is in your seventh chakra. That's way beyond the solar system. The sixth chakra, the third eye, the crown of your being contains information that is billions and billions and billions of light years away from the Earth. But yet it's contained in your cosmic consciousness. And I think that's something you have to tap into. And maybe even you or you yourself can become a creator, can become part of that process that is tapped into the eternal aspects of existence. So anyways, we have another show coming up.
Yeah, we do on Wednesday. Today's Wednesday. On Friday, but there is a change in the schedule the following week. We're going to be doing a show on Tuesday and then on Friday. So make
just
a note
that
of that.
Just for that week.
Yeah. Just for that week. We had to make a slight adjustment. So we appreciate all our callers and listeners. And thank you, Neil. And we will talk to you on Friday. Bye-bye.